Welcome to the Camden Nazarene Podcast. Camden Nazarene is an established church with a fresh vision located at 2276 Jefferson Davis Highway in Camden, South Carolina. We gather for worship each Sunday at 10:40 a.m., and you're invited to be our guest this Sunday.
When Pastor David asked me if I would preach today, I was like, man, that's my birthday. Man, way to say happy birthday to me, everybody. Appreciate it. Just pray for his travel. He's away up in West Virginia. He actually surprised his mom this morning. She didn't know he was coming this early. So, but they'll be she'll be moving down here in the coming week. So he's up starting that process now. So just pray for his travel mercies. And Pastor Amanda was here, but we were up all night last night with Joshua and. So she has taken him to the urgent care center because that's what the doctor asked her to do. So, it's good to be here. It's good to see you this morning. We're going to be in John chapter 6. We'll be looking at verses 25 through 35, but in a minute I'll get there. But I need to clear the record, and this worked out even better, actually, in my favor that Amanda's not here. So last week when she was preaching, she mentioned this story where I was coaching ball and, you know, Joshua had gotten away from her and basically she blamed me that he is gone because, you know, she told the story. She said, hey, you know, Joshua was missing and I'm on the ball field. I'm like, what you want me to do? So and that's kind of what my response was. And that probably wasn't the best response. But that's the one that came out of my mouth at the time. But the reason why, though, she's mad, was mad about the whole thing, was because she was the one that lost him and not me. Keep in mind, had the roles been reversed, had she been on the field, which she wouldn't have, but had she been on the field and I'd have been the one in charge of Joshua, I still would be paying for it today. And that happened almost over a year ago. Or so I needed to clear that record this morning. I'm sure somebody will tell her that I said something about it, and that's okay. It's my birthday, so she won't fuss at me. She'll wait till tomorrow, but then she'll forget. But if you will turn your Bibles to John chapter 6, I'm going to read to start off with verses 33 through 35, and then we'll jump back to verse 25 here in a minute. If you would please stand as we honor the reading of God's word. The words should be up on the screen. The words may be a little different out of my Bible than yours and on the screen, but it's okay. It's all the same. John chapter 6, verses 33 through 35. Hear the word of the Lord. And this is Jesus speaking. The bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said, sir, give us this bread all the time. And then Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for your spirit that's felt throughout this place, Lord. And I just ask right now that you just come in these next few moments. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Lord, reveal things to us that we may have forgotten or we're not aware of in our lives today. May the words I speak today be yours and not mine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So yes, again, so last week, Pastor Amanda led us to examine our lives, to essentially go back through our lives and see maybe where we lost our fire, our edge. The story was the axe head that fell into the lake, and Elisha was able to bring it back up to the top. And essentially, it was a symbolism of us going back to find where we lost ourselves, where we lost ourselves in Christ. So this week we're going to kind of think along those same lines. It's going to be a little similar as last Sunday, but what I want you to think to yourself this morning is this. I want you to think about how you view Christ. I want you to think about your relationship with Christ and what motivates you to have this relationship with Christ. What are your intentions in your relationship with Christ? And we'll get to the story in a minute. And so just ask yourself this. Do you serve Jesus because what he does for you or just because who he is? I mean, think about that this morning. Are you serving Christ because what he can do for you, or are you serving him just because of who he is? If he didn't do anything, would you still serve him? In other words, is Jesus like manna in your life? And this will make sense in a few minutes when I get to the story. But before you can answer that question, we need to understand, examine, what is manna? Have you ever heard this word manna? If you ever read through the scripture, Old Testament, particularly when the Israelites came out of Egypt and they were in the exile and they were traveling through the desert, this substance came about that was called manna. The Israelites, they were grumbling because they didn't really have any food while they were in the desert. And so God provided this stuff for them. And that's essentially that's what the word manna comes from. It's Hebrew for basically like, huh. And it's kind of evolving to this word manna. It's like when you look at it and you're like, what is this? It's like this stuff that I ate a few weeks ago at camp that Amanda had. It was this these little keto chips. Don't ever eat those. They're nasty. And that's kind of like what this was. Now God just didn't provide this food for the Israelites and said, here, have all you want, have at it. When God provided this stuff, this manna, this bread-like substance, he placed some provisions on this manna. In other words, you can only get what you would need for that day, nothing more. In fact, if you try to be a little extra, you try to slip a little bit into your pocket, whatever extra would actually spoil, and you wouldn't be able to use it. Anyway, so God provided for the Israelites, for these people, just to get them through each and every day. To put it in terms of what it would be like today, say God had that same provision on us today. It would be like waking up in the morning and you got your eggs and your bacon in the refrigerator. You got your Lucky Charms in the cabinet. You got other things. And you go throughout the day and you make your breakfast, you make your lunch, and you make your dinner. And then when you get done with dinner, that's it. The fridge is empty. The cupboard is empty. There's no getting up at midnight to get that late night snack. There's nothing. And you have to go to bed and have the faith to know when you get back up in the morning that the refrigerator is going to be full again, that the cabinet is going to be full again. Could you live like that? It'd be kind of tough. You know, I like my late night snack. I like going to bed knowing what I'm going to have to eat the next day. And so, but what God and what Jesus is going to teach us this morning is that we got to come to a place in our relationship with Christ that's all we need each and every day. Nothing more. And have the faith to know that each and every day God is going to provide. To have the faith to know that when you go to bed at night and you're worrying about something the next day, that when you wake up, it's going to be taken care of. It may not be taken care of the way that you want to be taken care of, but it's going to be taken care of. In our passage this morning here in John chapter 6, 25 through 35, this story comes on the heels of what I like to call the greatest fish fry that's ever happened. The story where Jesus feeds the 5,000 plus with just a few loaves of bread and a few fish. And so this happens, but we're going to see in our story in a minute that after this had taken place, after this great miracle had happened where Jesus fed the multitude, the crowd expected to keep on getting fed. Now, I can't blame them, because I would probably be the same way. If this man right here is going to hook me up with some fish, I'm going to follow him. And so that essentially that's what happens. But we see that the reason why that these people are following Jesus, the reason why that they are coming after him is not because he's the Messiah, but just because he's going to give them something. The book of John teaches this several times. He reveals to us several stories where Jesus either performs a miracle or has a conversation with someone, and they don't quite get it. You ever had that happen? It happened a few times in Scripture. If you go back to John chapter 3, where Jesus is having a conversation with this Pharisee, Nicodemus, he comes to Jesus because he doesn't quite understand all these teachings, all these messages that Jesus is trying to get across to the people. And so this is where Jesus, where we get our phrase born again, this is where Jesus tells Nicodemus that in order for you to have salvation, you must be born again. And what was Nicodemus's response? Well, how can somebody be born again if they're already a person? Ain't like, well, never mind. You know what I'm saying. So you have that instant there. And then later on in chapter 4, Jesus has this encounter with the woman at the well. And he tells this lady that I can give you some living water. I can give you something that you'll never want anymore, that you will always be in need. And she's like, well, where is this water at? Because that's what I want. But we all know that Jesus was not talking about a literal water, but he was talking about himself. In other words, just come to me and I can be everything that you need. You know, living your life in me means you'll never will go without again. But they didn't get it. But do we always get it? Do we always understand what Jesus is trying to show us? Do we understand things in life that happens today? As I was studying this passage, I was trying to think about some of the stories that I've heard growing up from people in my life, you know, my parents and whatnot, and it got me thinking. I understand now. For instance, you know, when I was a child, and I see my children, I understand. I understand the whippings. I understand well, when you grow up and you have children, they're going to be just like you. I understand that now. I don't know if Amanda's ever shared this story, and if she has, I'm sorry, because I'm going to share it as well. One day we were driving, and I don't even know where we were going. And I was driving, and Amanda was in seat with me, Ann was behind me, Joshua was in his seat, and Joshua would not be quiet. He talked, and he talked. Mama, Daddy. And I looked at Amanda and I said, all the adults in my life that had to grow up with me or had to watch me when I was a child, I'm going to send them I'm sorry card. I'm going to write them a letter and just tell them I'm sorry for all those times, because now I understand. You know, think about it. Have you had an encounter that happened before and you understand now? That's kind of what we're seeing here this morning. So in this passage this morning, John chapter 6, 25 through 35, we see the miracle that happened with the fish. Jesus and his disciples, they slip off, and the disciples, they go across the lake, and Jesus catches up to them. He walks on water, and then their other side. And so the next morning, these people, that that just seen this miracle, they're looking around, they're trying to find Jesus. And so they take off and they catch up with Jesus and the disciples. And it is here where we finally see the condition of the heart of these people. Again, they are seeking Jesus. They're seeking him not because they want to learn more, but because they want Jesus to give them something. In this case, it's food. But if we, again, if we put it in today's terms, perhaps we are seeking Jesus for the same exact reason. And so this morning, I want us to go, we're going to go through the scripture, and we're going to see this encounter between Jesus and these people. And they ask Jesus three different questions about what happened, about what they can find, about what they can do. And each time we see Jesus giving them the answers to the questions, but it's not necessarily the answers that they were looking for. So this first question that we find is here in John chapter 6, verses 25 through 27. We see that the disciple, or excuse me, we see the crowd was talking about questions in relations to what it means to work essentially for your salvation. So John chapter 6, verse 25, it says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus replied, I assure you that you're not looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate all the food you wanted. Don't work for the food that doesn't last, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. God the Father has confirmed him as his agent to give life. So this first encounter, this first question that the people asked Jesus, the crowd wants to know, yes, when did Jesus get here? And for some reason, Jesus was able to spin this into basically revealing to them that, hey, you're not trying to find me because I perform these signs, but you're trying to find me because you want something. And he's essentially saying, look, you don't have to work. You don't have to work for this. It's almost like Jesus knew what they were going to ask. It's almost like he knew what they were going to say, because his response was, stop working. You know, we can't work for our salvation. We can't earn it. In a second, we're going to see where that goes. But we can't work for it. Essentially, it's the work of God in our life. And so that brought him to the second question. The second question that we'll see here is a question that relates to their faith and relates to our faith. Reading on verses 28 through 29, they ask, what must we do in order to accomplish what God requires? Jesus replies, this is what God requires, that you believe in him who God sent. Sounds easy. It sounds simple. You know, the crowd wants to know what they can do to work, to do the work of God. And Jesus' response is this. It's not about working, but it's believing. You know, verse 29 reveals to us that the work is believing in God. And if you go down to verse 35, he tells them again, whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Again, whoever believes in God, you'll never go without. You always have what you need. And then the third question the people are asking God is a question that relates to our lives. We see in verse 30 through 33, they ask, what miraculous sign will you do that we can see and believe you? So we still see here in verse 30 that they still don't quite get it. They're asking, okay, well, what else are you going to do? Look, if I see a man who can turn a few fish and some bread into a big feast, I'm all in. But we still see that the condition of these people's heart has not changed. Again, in verse 30, what miraculous signs will you do? Again, when I was studying this, I could picture Jesus just standing there doing this right here. You ever done that? Has your children ever asked you something? Somebody at work ever asked you something and you just want to put your head in your hands? That's kind of what I'm picturing Jesus doing here at this point, because, maybe in his mind, he's like, well, what else do you want me to do? What else can I do for you? Verse 31, they go on to say, our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So now they're saying, well, look, our ancestors got a sign from God. Well, what are you going to do for us? They still do not get it. Here's Jesus' reply, verse 32. Jesus told them, I assure you, it wasn't Moses who gave you the bread from heaven to you, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Verse 33. The bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world today. So we see that the crowd is, again, asking for a sign from Jesus so that they can believe. And Jesus is like, look, I'm here. You see it. But yet, they still do not believe. Think about some of the times in your own lives when you might lose faith. You know, just like last week when Pastor Man was saying, take account of your life. And it's kind of the same thing today. Maybe you're here this morning and you've forgotten just who Jesus is. You've forgotten that our belief in him has nothing to do with all these signs and wonders. And yes, don't get me wrong, Jesus will do stuff for you. That's why we serve him. But he doesn't want us to serve him because of the things that he will do. He just wants us to serve him just because who he is. Jesus was God in human form. He came down to rescue us from our condition. And he's telling these people, look, you don't have to work for it. Several generations throughout the Old Testament, we see where people try to work for it. And it didn't quite get them anywhere. And so Jesus came and the crowd didn't understand this at this point. It wasn't until he was crucified that they would begin to understand. But we know today that Jesus came to take that sacrifice, to take that work, that burden off our shoulders and put it on him. So all that we have to do is just believe in him today. That's what it's all about. But yet the crowd still demanded. They still wanted this. Verse 34 through 35, they said, sir, give us this bread all the time. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus is the bread. Jesus is the bread of life. He's, just like the old hymn says, he's all we need. That's it. And that's what this passage this morning teaches us. That's what Jesus is trying to get across to these people. And so that's why he makes this connection between the manna of the Old Testament and Jesus of that day. He's like, look, it wasn't Moses. It was God that provided. And that same God that provided to the Israelites in the Old Testament is the same God that was providing for them. Though they couldn't see it, he was still there providing. And he's the same God that provides for us today. Jesus reveals to them the answer to all their questions. Again, he is the bread of life. He is the one that sustains. He is the one who can give them all they need. The people here, the crowd, and sometimes ourselves, we get trapped in this idea that we can seek God the same way that we seek our own ways, to seek things in this world, that if we seek these things that we want, we're gonna get it. I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus is saying, look, you don't have to seek me to get what you want, because I'm already giving it to you. He gave it to us through his sacrifice. He gave it to us through his body being hung on a cross. He gave it to us in the form of his blood that was shed so that we can have life today. Like the song we sang a while ago, you know, we didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. But yet, Jesus gave his life away for us. Don't come to Jesus thinking that he's just some kind of genie that you can just wish upon and he's going to grant it to you. Come to him as your Savior. Come to him as someone who can break you from the bondage of sin. That's what it means for Jesus to be the bread of life, to be everything that we need. So this morning, we're going to close our service by celebrating this bread of life through communion. I couldn't find no better way to close this service out than to celebrate Jesus through his shedding of his blood, through the breaking of his body. Here in the Church of the Nazarene, we practice open communion, which means you don't have to be a member of the church, but rather just a member of the body of Christ. Scripture tells us to do this as often as possible, to celebrate his death. But before we partake, perhaps there's some things in your life that you need to pray to Jesus about. Perhaps you're here this morning and you have fallen into that trap of viewing Jesus as somebody who can just give you something when you want it, rather than the one who can just give you life. I'm going to ask you to stand. You don't have to stand yet. Give you some instructions. I'm going to ask you to stand. We'll have a moment of prayer. I'll present the elements. And then we'll have two people up here, myself and Miss Sandy. You'll come forward, take a piece of the bread, and then you'll come in and dip it in the cup. And then we'll close out our service. But as you stand, let's go through a moment, a time of prayer, of reflection. And allow Christ to come and speak to your hearts. Allow him some time to come in and see what areas of your life. Let's pray. Father, We thank you for this day. We thank you for being the bread of life. We thank you for being that manna that says, I'm all you need for each and every day. Lord, in just a few moments as we celebrate your death here through Holy Communion, I pray right now that you come into our hearts. Lord, I pray that you reveal to us some areas in our life that we need to give back to you, that we need to say I'm sorry for, to repent. Lord, again, thank you for this day. In Jesus' name. On the night of his betrayal, Jesus stood, took the bread, and broke it. And said, this is my body that was broken for you. Take this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup. This is my blood, the new covenant that was shed for you so that we can have life today. Take it in remembrance. If you would just come, take a piece of bread. Thank you. not worthy. You still love us. You shed your blood and died for us on that cross, and we thank you for that today. Lord, as we leave this place this morning, as we go out into our mission field, may your love radiate through us, that we show this world what the bread of life looks like. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.
Thank you for visiting CamdenFirstChurch.org.